Put down your remotes. This week, Comcast and Time Warner are going to finally be sitting down with Justice Department officials in hopes of keeping their $45.2 billion merger alive. It's been more than 14 months since the mega cable merger was announced, and this week marks the first time the parties will sit down face to face. Wednesday's meeting with regulators will likely focus on possible concessions to address the government's concerns. Derek Thompson is a senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from the studios of NPR in New York. Thanks for being here, Derek.
Good to be back.
Okay, so this deal has been going along for quite some time in the ether. What are the government's concerns, the FCC's concerns about the case?
The government appears to be concerned that this merged conglomerate of Comcast and Time Warner Cable, already the biggest cable providers in the country, would create a merged company that's just too big. And it's important here to be clear about why exactly Comcast, Time Warner Cable would be too big, too powerful to raise monopoly concerns. The problem does not appear to be that the combined company would have necessarily a bad effect on consumers immediately. After all, Comcast and Time Warner Cable, although they're both dominant in their respective markets, aren't often dominant in the same market. There's not a lot of overlap city by city. So their argument is, okay, even if the cable market is already fairly oligopolistic, we're not really reducing many consumers' choices in cable providers. If you're in a city, for example, with Time Warner Cable and four other options, you'll still have Comcast, Time Warner Cable, and four other options. But here's the problem. Cable companies don't just sell to consumers. They also buy from media companies like Disney and CBS, and they negotiate with companies like Netflix to deliver shows to households. And so the fear from the Justice Department seems to be that a Comcast Time Warner Cable conglomerate would have too much power in these negotiations, and this would hurt innovation and choice for consumers, even if it doesn't immediately make their cable more expensive.
I see. So they're saying, Time Warner and Comcast are saying, look, this will not reduce your choice of cable operators. This will actually be good for you as a consumer. The problem, though, appears to be that this mega company, if they merge, would control most of the internet. So who would that cause problems for?
Right. It would cause problems for people like Netflix, for upstarts that want access to consumer households but can't necessarily pay for it. So, you know, one issue that's sort of lurking in the background here is this term net neutrality, which has somehow become one of the more confusing ideas in technology. Net neutrality essentially acknowledges that cable providers are a bit like highway toll collectors, and it says they have to treat all traffic equally. That means you can't preference certain companies, like, say, Netflix, by speed or by charging them more or less. On February 26, the FCC issued some new net neutrality rules that essentially treats internet access like a public utility. Congressional Republicans are now working on legislation to reverse that, but the upshot to this story is that there are a lot of people, both in government and without outside interest in this case, that want to prevent Comcast or Time Warner Cable from using their power to charge certain companies special access to their infrastructure to deliver faster speed connections to households.
So you mean that could happen if this merger goes through despite what the FCC ruled back in February?
It's hard to know. I mean, I think truly right now it's the thing that most onlookers are observing is that, you know, in the past few weeks, it seems like this merger, which, you know, a few months ago was, you know, 80-90% going to go through, now appears to be less than 50%, that that the lawyers are going to recommend that the government reject the merger precisely because of the concern that a company like this is going to have too much power over that final mile.
Okay, so with Comcast and Time Warner Cable knowing about these concerns, what are they planning to concede as they get together on Wednesday?
Well, the hope is that they might be willing to concede or divest of holdings the New York City or Los Angeles market. The reason that I think that this is a little sanguine is that one of the big reasons why Comcast, Time Warner Cable, wants to have this deal in the first place is to own the largest markets in the country. And so if the necessary concession is you can merge for $45 billion, but you also have to divest of holdings in your largest markets, that's going to raise an issue, I think, for the companies, whether this deal is worth that much in the first place or whether they expect investors are going to reward them if they go through with the deal if they don't control these major markets.
Okay. And briefly, Derek, what happens if the deal falls apart?
Well, you know, I think right now there are so many changes happening in the video market outside of this deal. The story behind the story, again, is the fact that the cable bundle, which used to be this sort of perfectly locked thing that a lot of people, including myself, thought could not be broken, now appears to be breaking up with, you know, ESPN and HBO and CBS all offering smaller bundles or over-the-top services. So I think Comcast, which has a lot of money, really still wants to make some sort of deal happen.
Okay. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, talking to us about the potential Comcast-Time Warner merger. He joined us from New York. As always, thank you, Derek.
Thank you.